Don.
Hey Henry, how are you?
Fantastic. Well, this is Don Williams. Thank you for coming on Entrepreneurs, Business, and Finance. Don and I have been friends. I'm trying to remember now. I think it's been 8 years or so, maybe nine.
Seems like yesterday, Henry.
It seems like yesterday. Time flies. And we met originally through mutual friends in the Entrepreneurs organization, where Don has been a leader. And I've also been a leader. And in fact, Don is doing keynote speaking, consulting. He's a published author. He's a repeat entrepreneur with a, he doesn't look that old, but he puts it on his LinkedIn, 38-year-old business, which he started very young.
I was only seven. I was only seven, Henry.
Okay, there you go.
That's
And
the only untruth I'll tell today. That's the only.
And then Don Williams Global, which is performance-based sales consulting, and then the Proven Entrepreneur podcast. So Don is really helping a lot of people, and actually he's also brought a lot of speakers in. He actually through EO hired me to come and speak an engagement back when I was speaking, but I kind of rounded that out, went on to other things, and he's expanded it. Way beyond anything I ever did. Why don't we go back to amazing accomplishments, amazing success, enjoying life. I see your posts, you're traveling all around the world, literally consulting, helping businesses. And is consulting the way you would describe it? Because I know there's some unique features about the way you help business owners and businesses.
Yeah, I probably would describe it as helping, but that doesn't sound very sophisticated. So if I put my sophisticated hat on, I would say I'm a consultant. I basically help people ring the cash register, make more money, and I don't really care what product or service they sell. I can help them sell more of it easier and faster, without a doubt. And we'll put my money behind my mouth. I'll bet with them, if they're reluctant. So I don't think people have relationships with companies, and I know companies don't have relationships with companies. People in companies have relationships with people in companies, or if it's business to consumer, just the people. And so kind of my superpower would be words. I speak and I write and I podcast, and so I love words, and every once in a while I say something really, really smart. Not all the time, but every once in a while. And then on the entrepreneur side, after 38 years and a bunch of different companies, I can help in a lot of ways, but I prefer just to help on the cash register side. And if a client needs more help, I'll bring in somebody who wants to specialize in whatever they need, setting up a new fund or whatever they're doing. It's not that I can't, it's just it's more fun to ring the cash register.
Well, I know that you're good at that. Why don't if you'll indulge the audience with when you were a kid, were you entrepreneurial? Were you hustling around, or was it something where all of a sudden it clicked and you had a precipitating event? Because you've been entrepreneur a large portion of your life.
I have been. And so my father was an engineer, and my mother was, well, he was originally a United States Marine for the first 13 years of my life. And then he was an engineer. And my mother was a stay-at-home mom and a bookkeeper. And then my grandparents on both sides were wheat farmers, North Dakota, Kansas, and Oklahoma. And so I grew up knowing how to do hard work. If you ate today, please go thank a farmer somewhere, because it's only because of their effort that you got to do that. And so I learned, my first job was really driving a John Deere tractor behind the combines during wheat harvest. And wheat harvest is coming up here in a couple of weeks here, probably in Texas, and about a month in Kansas, where I'm from. I learned that day two things. I learned one, I learned what hard work really was, and I learned I didn't want to be a farmer. And so I really became an entrepreneur out of an aversion to authority. And that's more common than people let on. I think non-entrepreneurs think entrepreneurs become entrepreneurs out of a profit motive. They want to make a lot of money and travel the world and drive cool cars and do fun stuff. And there's some of that. I mean, there's no doubt. Okay. But a significant percentage, I used to say I would be a really good follower if I could just find a good leader. And I couldn't find one. So I helped the man that I work for go from 2 offices to 11. Worked my way into partnership with him, sweat equity, became a partner, not with my dollars, but with my effort. And then he didn't pay me as agreed. And so I became his competitor. I said, okay, I'll go do it myself. And I was horribly ill prepared. I did not know what a P&L was. I did not know what a balance sheet was, but I did know how to bring money in the door. And if you have to know only one thing when you start, and I think everybody starts a little ugly, if you wait till it's all pretty and you know everything, you'll never start. Start where you're at, man. I don't care if that's, hey, I'm going to go out in the shed and get the lawnmower and the weed eater, and I'm going to go up and down the block, and I'm going to make 500 extra bucks this week mowing the yard. If that's where you start, start there. Okay. But just start. And so I didn't know really anything, but I didn't know how to bring in money. I knew how to ring the cash register. And if you only know one thing, that's the thing to know.
That always makes up for other issues. If you're bringing in revenue and cash flow, I think it's Warren Buffett or Munger, talked about EBITDA is a good thing, and there's a point to consider EBITDA, but the most important thing is cash and cash flow. And if you're bringing in money, then you've got cash flow. And if you have some extra expenses or have some problems because you didn't know how to manage it, you're going to be okay. You got more cash flow.
Yeah,
So,
absolutely. Even if there's big, hairy, gnarly problems, you can afford to hire an expert to fix them. You don't have to be an expert at everything, you know? And so, the wonderful thing about sales from, and a lot of people who work on the sales engineering side, they're really systematic and really formulaic. And I don't take anything away from that. My theory is we just talk about next steps because everybody's in a unique spot. So let's just talk about the next step. Let's get that done, and then the next step, and the next step. And but when you approach people and selling the right way, it is so natural and so easy, and people just buy. Okay, they really don't want to be sold anyway. They want the permission to just buy, and when you do it the wrong way, it's brutally hard. It's agonizingly difficult, and it will make you wonder why you exist if you do it the wrong way. So I just show people the next steps on how to do it the right way in volume and quantity, and so they just go make more money.
when I first my first job was constructions after college was construction supervision, and then sales for a big large home builder. Supervision was for the home builder too. And the feedback I got, and I did really well at a young age. Feedback I got from the surveys that they would ask, that my boss would tell me, was people would say, "Well, he didn't sell me." And at time I was so worried about that because I'm a salesman. That was my title back then, sales manager. But my boss, sort of educated me. No, you're doing it the right way. People don't want to be sold,
They
and
don't.
they want to be helped. They want to buy what they want. They want to be educated on it. And what's interesting about you and your business experience is you've been helping people. Your first business was helping people get sales. So you've been on the front end and your whole career. And that's why, you know, you talk about ring the bell or bringing the cash, because you've been doing that forever for yourself, with your own business, helping other people do it. And now, you know, you've expanded it again. I don't know too many people like that. There's only one
So,
Don Williams, of course, but I don't know too many people like
I
that.
don't know too many people like that either, but you know, it all hasn't been, you know, roses and Victory Lane. You know, there's been some, you know, trials and tribulations and some weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth along the way. But I'll tell you, you know, just since I met you know, I recognized my purpose. You know, for years I was like, what is my purpose? What, you know, Simon Sinek says, start with your why. Well, like the big why is, why are you here and what difference are you making? And I want to encourage everybody, if you don't know that, try and spend some time with yourself to figure that out. But I remember you and I had lunch. Gosh, it's been years ago now. I don't even remember where we were, Dallas someplace. And I was telling you that I was dissatisfied with what I was doing, and I wanted to begin doing this other thing, which was coaching and consulting and helping. And so I knew that, but that's not really my purpose or my mission. But in the time that I've known you, I recognized my mission. And I think that's actually the process. I don't think you discover it. I don't think you ideate it. I don't think you get 10 closest people to you and they say, well, Henry, I think this is your. I don't think it's that. I think it's in you. You maybe have been ignoring it. You maybe not been looking at it and listening to it, but it's always been in you. It's always been in me to help other people. Okay. I am a servant. And so I recognize that my personal mission, my purpose in life is to help others help others. I love helping people, but I really love helping people that are helping other people. Okay, because it's a bigger ripple, you know? And you know, you're helping plant trees that you're not going to sit under, and really that you're never even going to see. I mean, I literally have clients on every continent but Antarctica. And I'm looking for one there. If you're listening today and you're in Antarctica, call me. I'll cut you a deal. And I'm expensive, okay? But I love helping people who are helping other people. And all my business missions feed into my personal mission because at the beginning of the day, I'm Don. I'm not entrepreneur. I'm not owner. I'm not CEO. I'm not minority partner. I am all those things. But that doesn't define me. Those are just things I do, and from that point, it got real easy to have clarity on where I'm going to spend my time. I get 86,400 seconds a day, just like you, and I want to spend them doing what makes the most impact on the world, and that is helping others help others. My core values. And I think mission, vision, and values are, you know, really, really important. It is the yardstick, the barometer, you know, that keeps you on task. But my core values are simply you and me. And the why stands for you first. I'll always put you first. The O stands for outstanding effort. I will give you my very best. And my very best in helping ring the cash register and in relating to people is really, really good. My very best in finance says, hey, let me get you to talk to Henry or somebody else. Okay. Because that's not my very best. The U stands for understanding. The more I understand, the more you understand, the better we do. Okay. I think people should over communicate, run the risk of over communicating. Be so clear that people are like, Don, I got it. Okay. Instead of them not understanding. Okay. And then as we go to me, the M stands for mission oriented. If we don't have a mission, if we don't have a goal, I cannot play. Okay. I cannot work in a vacuum. And the E stands for enthusiasm, which, you know, we're here in Dallas, Fort Worth. There used to be a Ford dealer. Well, the Ford dealer's still there, but they used to have a character. Joe Greed was the on television character for Westway Ford, and he wore a white sequin suit, white sequin cowboy hat, and big green sequin glasses, and many times, and he was loud and obnoxious. His character was loud and obnoxious, and people kind of equate that with enthusiasm, but that is not what enthusiasm means. Enthusiasm comes from two Greek words, en and theos, which literally translates to God within. And I won't try and convert you to see things the way I do, but what you're passionate about, God's within. Okay, so you can be really passionate, be really quiet. You don't have to be loud. And then the last four letters of enthusiasm are IASM. And I got this from Zig. Give him attribution. I am sold myself. And if you want to influence people to act, you got to be sold. So, 38 years, there has been some dark days, and there's been some shining months and years. There's been some dark months and years. It's a anybody, if you're outside looking at entrepreneurship and you think it's all roses and victory lane, it's not.
And I remember now, as you're talking about the lunches we had, it was 2016 because you started Don Williams Global in 2017. And we were both in a period of our life where we were looking to do something new and something different and searching, if you will, ourselves, talking openly about, what we wanted. And you'd had your company so long and it was helping people, but you were looking to do more, as I recall. And really catch a person. And then you started the speaking, and then you started the writing, and then I don't know. And then I think you launched Don Williams Global after that. I don't recall exactly, but and there are those turning points. There's pivotal moments. I remember one of mine when I stopped home building. I loved custom home building. My first business. Loved building the dream customers. Learned a bit as I got an EO that. I got concerned about some things, personal guarantees, risks, and sure enough, a lot of my friends, fellow builders, went bankrupt later. So for me, that was a good choice to move on to something else. But I remember I lost the love. And the day I knew it was I was talking to a lady with the painter and the decorator about what color taupe on the wall. They used to be very into helping people. And I looked up and I thought, I don't give a darn what color taupe it is. And I thought, you know what? Then I need to move on because I need to care. I mean, I can have a bad day or be grumpy because I'm human, but then I remember you always cared about your business, but it was running itself. And it's, I mean, you still own it, but it still runs itself, I think. And yeah, the why. That is a great, I love that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and I think, and I still love that business, and I'm still love that they don't need me very much. And in the last 3 weeks, I've been in Singapore, Wichita, Charlotte. I got in from Baltimore at 2 a.m. this morning. We had bad weather in Dallas, and so I had the pleasure of spending 8 hours in the Baltimore airport. You ever been to BWI? I know you have. You're kind of from that area. Yeah,
I wouldn't recommend 8 hours.
it's not Doha, it's not Dubai, it's not that kind of airport, but I'm thrilled to be here. And then I leave, and then I have a trip a week for the next 6 weeks. And in my life, that goes in spurts. It's not always like I would not like it if it was always like that. But there'll be 10 or 12 weeks of out and back. Sometimes a day, sometimes next week I'm gone 5 days. But and I love that part. But without the great people in my companies, I couldn't do that. Because I would have to be there wondering, did we do this right? Did we do that right? And I don't know where I got this. I should give credit, but I don't know. So, but anyhow, this is not original thought. This is from somebody else. And they were giving advice to startup entrepreneurs, so like founders. Okay. And the average founder in America is not well capitalized, not strategically sound. They're starting ugly. And again, if that's how you got to start ugly. A junky start is better than no start. But this person's advice was, as you're making your plans to build, don't build a job, build a company. And I thought, man, that's so great for a startup entrepreneur. Is you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You'll be the person unlocking the door. You'll be the person vacuuming the floor. You'll be the person, doing all of the menial things in the business to begin with. That's fine. Kind of everybody goes through some of that sometime. Just don't make that to be your plan. I'm going to do this until I can get somebody else to do this because I'm then going to go do that. And because if you build a job, you'll have a job.
So I imagine that some of the work you do is, or maybe quite a bit, is confidential because you're being provided the information of the inner workings of companies. But leaving anything like that aside, would you like to share a success story or two about a company that you helped or a friend that you helped?
I'd love to. So,
Great.
if I can, I'll share two. One, a solopreneur, okay? And I don't think there's anything wrong with being a solopreneur. If you can have the life that you want, which includes the income and the freedom that goes along with that, don't let anybody tell you your lifestyle business makes you less of a business person or less of an entrepreneur. Okay. Success isn't the dollars. Success is, are you at peace? Are you happy? Are you content? Dollars help. Okay. But success is not defined by dollars. I mean, Howard Hughes on his deathbed was trying to make more money. That somehow doesn't seem, there's something disingenuous about being the wealthiest man in the world and literally being terminal, still trying to make money. It's like, surely there was something more important than that. But I'll give you one solopreneur, business co EOS implementer. So, which is a kind of business coach. Okay. And brilliant guy, came out of healthcare, genius. And he had four clients when I met him when he engaged me. And he was charging $4,000 a day for his service. And he would have like 5 days a year with a client. And my first question to him was, well, why aren't you charging $10,000 a day? And he said, well, that's not kind of how it's done. You start low and over a period of time you build. I was like, who invented that? And he said, well, that's kind of the system that I'm in. And I'm like, well, they're not sales guys. Because that makes no sense at all. That's ridiculous. I said, if what you do is valuable, it's worth 10 grand. And if it doesn't work, guess what? It's not worth the $4,000. So what difference does it make? If you deliver, you should charge. And if you can't deliver, you should find something you can. Okay. So I got a text from him. We built him to about 28 clients. And which is over service. He's a he's overachiever. And I got a text. I only see him about once a year now. We typically have lunch in December. And I got a text from him in July, and he said, you know, I just did my 500th day. I'm in the top 7% of my colleagues worldwide. And I just signed my first $10,000 a day client. Well, money adds up a lot faster at 10,000 a day versus four. And the fact that he has a full dance card and has provided his service 500 days means that he's helping other people. And man, that's dead spot on mission for me to help him help them. And if you take it one step further, all of those business owners he's coaching are helping other people. And so the world would be a better place if everybody would just help somebody. I don't care if it's one person, help somebody. So that's one.
That's
Here's another
terrific.
one. different extreme. So, I think 2,100 employees. Okay. Much larger. Different kind of entrepreneur. Okay. Not better, not worse, just different. They have a division that handles they're B2C, but they have a division that handles B2B. And they came to me and they're like, we have this team and they do X number of dollars a year, and we want to know if we can do better than that. And when they told me, I was like, are you sure that's right? That doesn't sound right. That sounds like really low for what I think you could do in the industry that you're in, with the market that you have, and the fact that you provide a really exceptional product or service. Okay. And even though you sell a product or service, I want to encourage you to look at it as you deliver an experience. Because your customers and your prospects are judging you, yeah, on the product or service, but they're judging you far harsher on the experience that you deliver. And sometimes people are, it's like when I talk to my dog sometimes cocks its head and it's like, what is he saying? Sometimes when I share that with people, they cock their head and they're like, what's he saying? I'm like, trust me, they're judging you on the experience much more than on the product or service. Okay. And we'll talk about experiences in a minute if we can. So anyhow, I said, well, okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to talk with everybody who's involved in that division. Okay. And I want to have four meetings with them. And I'll do 4 hours, which an hour to me is like 45 minutes. And so merely with what I would say, stopping the stupid things that exist in your sales process that are actually sales prevention. And almost everybody has some. I was like, why do you do that? And they're like, well, we've always done that. And I'm like, well, we're stopping that today. That's actually keeping people from buying. Okay. And then moving everything else towards best practice, you get better results. Okay. And so we doubled that division sales in a period of 8 weeks. No more leads, no more advertising, no more opportunities. Let's just do and be better, follow a better process to help people get what they want. Because that's really what they want. If I'm a buyer, I want, and you're my seller, I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it. And if you'll just give it to me, there'll be no closing, there'll be no arm wrestling. I won't even think about it. I'll be like, take my money, Henry. Give me your thing. Give me your product, service, or experience. Okay. When you see it all from my point of view, everything changes. And if you'll take that point of view thing and you'll go home and apply that with your spouse and with your kids and with your friends and with your employees and with your contractors and with everybody you come into contact with, you try and see things through their glasses. From their point of view, your things that you will accomplish will come faster and bigger because they're seeing it from their point of view. Most people try and convince, please, Henry, see it from my point of view. That's hard. It's a lot easier for me to say, hey, I want to see it from Henry's point of view. How can I give Henry what Henry wants, when he wants it, and how he wants it? And then I was in Baltimore for a couple of days working with a bunch of business owners, and we were talking about value proposition. And I'm like, everybody has one, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, how many of you can tell me what it is? And like maybe 10%, kind of like on mission, vision, and values. Most people have them. I'm like, tell me what they are. And they're on the wall in the lobby. They're on the website. And you're like, that's not good. They're wrong then. Okay. If you're not passionate about them, they're wrong. But as we talked about value prop, I was like, so I'm not gonna build your value proposition for you, but let me build the framework. So value proposition is, hey, what's the value of the product or service that I'm offering you as relates to your money, right? So if I was selling Ferraris and we're at Dallas Ferrari and you walk in and I show you the car and I'm like, it's $342,000. And you're like, what's the discount? And I'm like, well, it's $342,000. And you pay $342,000, and you leave with one of the finest automobiles made in the history of the planet. And I leave with $342,000 of your dollars. And we had an exchange. There's really no value in that. There's no value. The value would be, can I buy the $342,000 car for $275,000? That difference, that delta between the 275 and the 342, that represents value. So here's how your value proposition ought to be positioned and articulated. The value that you provide should be so extraordinary that your prospect hates their money and wants to throw it at you. And if it's not that strong, I would tell you, you got some work to do there. Because it ought to be that strong. It ought to be magical what I can deliver to you for the dollars that I charge. And when you do that, you can charge anything you want. So you asked me a short question. I gave you a long answer. I'm sorry, Henry.
A fantastic answer. No, it's if you're gonna coach podcast hosts, you say get someone like Don Williams on the because he can answer questions before they're asked. So no, that's terrific. And what
Thank you.
really motivating and encouraging stories. And it's so great to see you enjoy what you do. And you know, there's always something, right? You're stuck at the airport, but here you are, and you look great today, and you're on a podcast, and you know, you're enjoying life. So, and helping a lot of people and fulfilling your mission. Really, great to have you here and to hear that.
Well,
Thank you.
thank you so much. And I want to clarify, I'm not griping about the airport thing yesterday. I'm a person who lives my life in gratitude. And so I'm grateful that people want to fly me places and want to hear me talk and want me to help them. And, you know, if you fly enough, you just know you're going to get, you know, I probably have two weather, I have two things like that a year. I don't let it bug me, you know. I was happy to get home, but I don't let stuff like that bother me.
Well said, well said. Because you know, the old expression, first world problems. Okay, I'm stuck at the airport, which is comfortable and can read, talk on the phone, there's food, you know, it's people get can't be have gratitude enough.
Hey, remember this. If you sleep in a bed tonight, about 60% of the people on this planet we call Earth are going to sleep on the ground today. And so if you sleep in a bed, if you ate, if you flipped a light switch and lights came on, if you had almost limitless clean water, you won the lottery. Because there's people that don't have that. And when you travel internationally, you know, there's poverty in the US, and we're always going to have poverty. No government's going to be able to say, everybody, there's no poverty. That's not going to happen. It's a human thing. But if you look at poverty in less developed areas of the world, the poverty in the United States is a big step up. And so, you know, if you were, and I have clients everywhere, thankfully. But if you were born in the developed world, you won the lottery. If you were educated, you won the lottery. Okay. And go help somebody else. I tell my clients, and I learned this in entrepreneurs' organizations. Here's where I first started sharing it. I was like, when you build your strategy for what you want to accomplish as a chapter or as a region or the globe, whatever you're going to do there, run it through this filter. Is it good for my member? And so, like we were saying it for your company, is it good for my customer? And then, is it good for the organization? Is it good for my staff? Is it good for my company? Is it good for my vendors? And notice how I include vendors along with staff. I can't run my business without them. I want them to love me as much as I want my staff to love me. Is it good for the global organization and is it good for the world? And if you'll run your plans through that filter, they'll be accurate more often than they're not, and you'll make a difference. And it's good business to do good. It is good business to do good.
Good business to do. That is a good one to end on. But I want to ask you if someone wants to reach out to you, would they go straight to Don Williams Global and contact you through there?
You can go to
That wants to
the
help?
Don Williams Global website. You could email me, don@donwilliamsglobal.com. That's my personal email.
Okay.
And I'll reach out to you. Might take a minute, but I will follow back up for sure because I see things from other people's perspective. And if they reach out, they want me to reach back.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on today and for sharing your words of wisdom and just being a good guy. So,
Henry, thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be a guest on your show. And as you know, I love you and your wife and can't wait to see you.
back at you. See you soon.
Thanks.
Goodbye.